Jordan stepped toward Cord's mace.
Oh, damn, this thing is heavy!
Ugh. He advanced cautiously on the unreal noble, hefting the mace as best he could. He knew the steward had said not to interfere, and given any choice, he would have been happy not to. But he couldn't just stand by and watch a man die. He moved forward as quietly as he could, and sneaked up on the thing from behind. Without a head, the creature shouldn't be able to see or hear him, but he wasn't taking any chances he didn't have to. A second mouth appeared suddenly in the creature's back, lined with chomping teeth. It knew he was there. Jordan stopped dead in his tracks and switched the mace awkwardly to his left hand. He used the other hand to palm a fire pellet from his sleeve. The pellet flew right into the creature's mouth. Smoke poured from every opening, and the blazing light could be seen clearly through the creature's flesh.
I'm free! Step back, Prince!
The creature gradually fell apart into twitching pieces that took a long time to die and lie still. Jordan looked away and saw the severed head grinning up at him. It snarled silently. It finally stopped moving. He looked up, and Cord nodded to him approvingly. Jordan grinned back. Not all the birds had died from the steward's balefire. A dozen of them dived shrieking toward the regent, still standing beside the throne. Jordan started toward him to help, and then stopped as the Lady Gabrielle lifted her arm and pointed imperiously at the birds. They fell clumsily out of the air, their mouths opening and closing like fish out of water. Jordan frowned, confused, and on moving closer saw that the birds were gasping futilely for air. Of course, Gawain said she had air magic. She was drawing the air out of their lungs. He looked at Gabrielle with new respect. He made a note not to upset her. The steward skidded to a halt before the man melting into the wall, holding her sword of light high. Dark blood spurted from the broken stone. The wall heaved and convulsed around the emaciated body, and then formed into a jagged mouth that spat the body out. The man fell limply to the ground and lay still. He was little more than skin and bone. The wall had all but sucked him dry. The steward stood over him, her shimmering shield between them and the stone mouth. It grinned at her and stretched wider and wider until it was the length of the wall. Squat, bulky teeth appeared behind the thick, gross lips. The steward pressed the attack. The stone yielded helplessly to the glowing balefire, but the blade was too small to do any real damage to the gigantic mouth. The steward backed away a step, made a quick gesture with her hands, and her sword and shield disappeared. Jordan was about to ask what she was thinking when he realized that the wall was pursing its lips and smiling.
We are coming. We will be here soon. We are coming!
Not on my watch. Restore!
The wall rippled and buckled as she fought to destroy the force that had possessed the chamber. Her lips pursed in concentration, the huge mouth twisted in agony. There was a flare of light too bright to look at. And when everyone's eyes had cleared, the mouth was gone, and the wall was just a wall again. The steward knelt down beside the man she'd rescued and felt for a pulse in his neck. After a moment, she nodded tiredly and stood up again. She gestured to the nearest servants, and they hurried forward to take care of the shrunken figure. Jordan looked closely at the man as he was carried past and was relieved to note that the emaciated chest was still rising and falling, if only just. He looked back at the steward to congratulate her and then hesitated. She was clearly unsteady on her feet, and for the first time, Jordan realized just how much her magic had taken out of her. Her face was pale and drawn, and sweat trickled down her brow. Her hands were shaking slightly, but when Damon Cord hurried over to stand at her side, she brusquely waved away his silent offer of support. She looked slowly around the quiet hall, taking in the silent courtiers and what remained of the dead, unreal creatures, and finally she nodded wearily. She turned to the throne on the dais and bowed to the regent.
That's it. I've done all I can here. But things are going to stay unsettled until there's a king on the throne again. My sorcerer is strong enough to cope for the moment, but that's all. Tell the people why we're here. We can't put this off any longer.
Is the hall clear of the unreal now?
The steward looked at the monk. Lewis stiffened slightly. For a moment, Jordan thought the steward was going to say something to Gabrielle, but then the moment passed, and she just looked away.
I've done all I can, my lady. Let the regent say his piece, and then we can all get out of here. I don't know about the rest of you, but I've got work to do.
Yeah, lots to be done.
He hefted the sword in his hand and grinned nastily. He opened his hand, and the sword suddenly disappeared. Jordan was startled as the mace in his hand disappeared too.
What the?
Shh, it's just what he does. No, hush, dear, the regent is about to speak.
My friends, as you have just seen, we live in dangerous times. Without a king on the throne, the whole of Redheart could soon fall prey to the unreal. But with the will, the crown, and the seal missing, we have been unable to declare any of the princes to be king. All three brothers have had ample time to find the crown and seal, and they have all failed. We cannot, we dare not wait any longer. It is therefore my unfortunate duty to proclaim the right of transference, as established in precedent. From this moment on, any man with blood who presents crown and seal to the stone in the correct ceremony will be declared the next king of Redheart.
For a long time, nobody said anything.